Sim. What is it? Some say it's sex, drugs, and rock and roll, while others, well, they say it's more than that. It's smoking, drinking, and card playing. Or worse yet, it's corrupted politicians and deceptive big business, crime, poverty, and immorality in the streets of the cities around the world. What is it? Could good, well-meaning, charitable, church-going, religious, God-fearing, and family people be sinning and not know it? Can someone think they're pleasing God when in fact they're insulting, shaming, and displeasing Him? We need to define this most subtle ingredient that often results in life's most costly experiences. After all, sin causes such disruption, confusion, and yes, even death. Stay with us as we explore this hideous element working its destruction throughout our world.
The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bronson James.
And hello again, friends. Thank you very much for tuning in to this edition of the Armor of God telecast. We are delighted that you have taken time out of your schedule to view this presentation by the Church of God International as we come into your homes to share with you what we understand from the Word of God. We are not ashamed of that Word. It is the power of God unto salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, in a previous program, we began to talk about sin and its pervasiveness in the world. It is everywhere. Now, no one likes to be told, you are a sinner. We use nicer terms. We say, this person is prone to make mistakes. They have missed the mark. They have fallen short. But the Bible is a bit more blunt and a bit more direct. In fact, it tells us in Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All? What does all mean? Does all mean is, or is mean all? You know what I mean. We have some problems sometimes defining words. But in this situation, all means all. Because of our sin in the world, it was necessary nearly 2,000 years ago for one of the divine beings to come to the earth and to die in the human form and to shed His blood on our behalf. Now, as a result of that act, everyone can come under the blood covering of Jesus Christ, no matter what sin has been committed. The most heinous of crimes and sins can be covered by the blood of Christ. But you have to make a move. You have to do something about it. Now, in the process of identifying the presence of sin in the entirety of the globe, any country that you might point to, it's easy to say our enemies are sinners, but it's less easy for us to acknowledge that we in our own lives, here in the Western world, particularly in Canada, in the United States, perhaps down in Australia, wherever you may be viewing this program, it's hard for us to say we are sinners. But I hope after today's program you will come to see that. Now, let me tell you about what we're offering in today's program before we get into the meat of it. In fact, we are providing you with a new bit of technology, and it's rather exciting. First of all, the brochure that we're offering is, Are Christians Under the Law? That's very important because in the fact that sin is described by the law, we want you to recognize that the phrase under the law has a very specific meaning and is not what you have normally heard in your day-to-day churchianity. Now, in addition to the cassette tape entitled Sin, From Sin to Sanity, which I presented recently on a tape, we also now have available to you on, well, this is not DVD yet, we're working on that, but this is a, well, what do you call this thing now, cassette disc or compact disc? This is very important because now you can ride along, and most cars, they have these facilities now. But the sermon is entitled Sin to Sanity. It's a sermon, full length, about 60 minutes or so. But you can have this, and you can also visit our website at www.cgi.org. And I encourage you to do that because you can in case you missed something on this program, you can tune in to our website and connect to our link that allows you to watch the Armor of God telecast on your computer apparatus. And that's a very good technology to take advantage of. So I'm encouraging you to visit that website. That's cgi.org. Now on to today's program. Sin. From sin to sanity. Now it is difficult for us to conclude that we are all insane. But when we are imbibing of sin, when sin is so pervasive in our lives, we are nothing but insane. We certainly are not under the blood covering of Jesus Christ unless we acknowledge it, unless we repent, that old English word that simply means to change the way you're going, to turn around and go in a different direction. But let's remind ourselves today something about what sin is. Let me ask you this question. Is sin dancing? What about consumption of alcoholic beverages? Well, surely gambling must be sin. And you know, there are people who would say, yep, that's amen, brother. We know what you're talking about in that regard. Sex outside of marriage, yeah, that's sin. What about lying? Yeah, but there are situational ethics where you've got to fudge the truth a little bit. Do you know when you look around the world today and you see warfare looming large in the lives of individuals, you see country after country and economic circumstances impeding the progress of people. Why, right here in the United States, our beloved country here, we've had great executives who have made off with millions of dollars while their company has gone into ruin. What is that called? Just business chicanery? Or is it sin? What about in the halls of Congress of your national political apparatus? Perhaps in this country you call it the Congress. In England you call it the Parliament. What kind of things go on behind the scenes that allow palms to be greased? You know, bribes to be taken? We call them political contributions. We call it a lot of things, but it's all sin. And what about churches? Now, we don't want to identify too many churches. We can't call too many names. We'd be in jeopardy of some of these programs not airing. But you know, in any denomination, there are individuals who bring disrespect, ill repute upon the name of churchianity or Christianity in this case, because of actions of leaders, actions of people who wear the cloth, so to speak, sin. Now look at what Isaiah says in describing this reality. This is Isaiah 59. It gives us the tragic nature of sin. It begins by saying, behold, the Lord's hand, that is Yahweh's hand, is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, that's another word for sin, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid your face, his face, from you. He will not hear. Now, he can hear, but he does not hear because we do not acknowledge our sin. It goes on to say this, for your hands are defiled with blood. Now, we think about, well, I know what a murderer is. They are on death row, right? But Jesus Christ comes along in Matthew in 5, 6, and 7, and particularly Matthew 5, and says, if you hate your brother in your heart, you may not lift a hand to do anything against him, but you are as guilty as if you took a knife and stabbed him through the heart, or a bullet and shot his brains out. Really? Jesus said that? Well, that's more binding, really, than the concept of just merely killing someone. You can hate someone and still move in the arena of having blood on your hands. It goes on to say this, and your fingers with iniquity. I like that because, you know, the finger deal is you're guilty. Oh, no, no, it's you. It's your fault. You see what I'm saying? That's when you recognize because of our nature, our sin nature that we inherited from our father Adam, from the Garden of Eden, we find ourselves inundated with the presence of sin in our lives. Isaiah goes on to say, your lips have spoken lies. Oh, well, they're only little white lies. They're not significant. The fact that we didn't tell the shareholders the truth about something, well, it was only for their good. Or that the government withholds some, especially an open government, withholds some truth that we, the public, should know because we're supposed to be the bosses, aren't we? And yet, leaders, and we know in recent times, have stood before us with bald-faced lies about this, that, or the other thing. And the scripture condemns it. It says, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue have muttered perverseness. None calls for justice, nor any pleads for truth. They trust in vanity or emptiness and speak lies. They conceive mischief. In other words, they stay up late at night trying to figure out how to get over on someone, how to use chicanery and sleight of hand. Even those people who make commercials figure out how to part your money from your wallet, don't they? And that's a part of the sin apparatus. And they bring forth iniquity. And then this analogy is presented. They hatch cockatrice or adder's eggs, poisonous snakes, you know. And they weave the spider's web. And he that eats their eggs, and we are all susceptible to sin through the apparatus of others, they eat these eggs and they die. And that which is crushed breaks out into a viper. In other words, these eggs are hatched into more vipers, more adders. And then it says, their webs shall not become garments. You can't hide behind the garment of a web spun by a spider and call it, well, good dressing. You know, what a wonderful suit you are wearing. It's like the emperor, you know, with no clothes on. This is the reality, my friends, of sin and its pervasiveness. Now, the chapter 59 of the book of Isaiah goes into great detail, more detail than I can share with you at this time, concerning this sin nature. But now let me ask you this question. What can you do about the presence of this sin nature in yourself? Forget about your wife. Forget about your husband, your children, or your neighbors, or other family members, or people with whom you might work. What about you? What response can you bring to this reality of sin? Now, just over in chapter 8 of the book of Isaiah, there's an interesting statement made here. Let's take a look at let's turn to chapter 55, if you will. Chapter 55 and verse 6. Here's what instruction comes to us through Isaiah. It says, seek you the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. And do you realize as you watch this Armor of God telecast that there are people of the Church of God International and very interested, connected friends with the Church of God International who are praying that right now you come to a concept of sin in your life and the need for repentance and that you turn to God and seek after him with all of your might. We don't do these programs because it's just something to fill up time. The finances that come to us to support this ministry has a point in mind that you will not only pick up your phone and dial for the free material, that at some point in time you come to a conclusion that you must do something about your sin condition because it's all around you in the world, and the Bible tells us to come out of sin. That is, to make a transition, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the perfect will and the acceptable will of your Heavenly Father. So here's what Isaiah continues to say. It says, let the wicked forsake his ways. That's repentance, friends. And the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Pardon what? Now, some people will tell you in this modern churchianity that, well, sin, well, there is sin, but it's not because of the law. I want to turn over to a passage here in 1 John. And find an interesting statement. It's probably the best biblical definition of what sin is. Look at it. 1 John 3 and verse 4. It says, whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law. Now let me just stop right there. Because we as a church do not teach that you are saved by the law. No, you're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But the law and its purpose was to define what sin is. Here's what it goes on to say in 1 John 3 and verse 4 in the last part of the verse. It says, for sin is the transgression That is the breaking of the law. So the law stands there, the Ten Commandments, if you will, telling us what sin is. It defines what sin is. And you know there's something interesting about that fourth commandment? Open your Bible to Exodus 20 and take a look there. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Let's say, I'm going to grant you that you don't dishonor God, you don't use His name in vain, you have no idols around, you honor your mother and father, you don't steal, kill, or bear false witness, you don't covet your neighbor's wife and do all those kinds of things, you don't do any murder. Do you observe the Sabbath? Because if you are lacking in that point, the book of James says, you're guilty of all points of the law. And you can't hide behind Jesus Christ, by the way. He was the one who created the Sabbath day. In his pre-existent state, he produced that reality of Sabbath observance. He gave us the example in his own life. So did the First Testament, first century Christians. They showed us by their example. So how did it happen that all of a sudden it becomes popular to keep another day? That's sin, my friends. And once you come to an awareness of it, what should you do? How do you respond? Where do you go from here? Now, to underscore the importance of getting sin out of your life, getting rid of it, coming under the blood of Jesus Christ, turn over with me, if you would, to the book of Romans. I quoted a verse there earlier from Romans, the third chapter in verse 23, that we're all guilty of sin. But if we remain in sin, if we do not acknowledge that sin is pervasive in our lives, what happens? Romans 6 and verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Now, friends, I don't know about you, but if God Almighty offers me eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ, and I decide life, death, life, death. Now, which would you choose? Do you not want to live? Or you say, well, my body is not working right. My finances are bad. I don't have good relationships. The world looks like it's coming to an end. I just might as well curl up in a ball, a great big ball, and die. Really? What if God Almighty can come into your lives and relieve you of the burdens that encompass you, that weigh you down, that encircle your environment, that can change your relationships, change your approach to life? Would you not accept that? The wages of sin is death, this scripture says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life, does that really mean living forever? Oh yes, my friends. That is available to the believer. For the individual who recognizes that not only in the world is the presence of sin, but also in one's individual life. And our approach here today on the Armor of God is to get you to make an acknowledgement, to get you to make a commitment, to get off of the couch, to get off of your duff, as they say, and do something to respond, not only getting the free material, but to call us and ask us, is there a minister I can talk to? Is there someone who can help me redirect my life? How can I be baptized, if that's your interest? And we will try to do the very best we can to accomplish that, even to the point of at least putting you in touch with fellow believers who may not be of the Church of God International, but who are of the body of Christ. We will try to find a way to get you baptized, my friends, and to get your life turned around, because it's that important. Now, back in 1 John, John was a marvelous disciple, certainly one that Jesus Christ had a great deal of affection towards. He writes in 1 John 2 and verse 15, this following statement. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, that's an interesting note. We may say, you know, I love my country. I love my flag. I love my neighbors. And I love my government. I love our capitalistic system. Whatever you might apply to the term love. But one has to be careful. Because if that love supersedes the love of God, then you've got a problem. You have placed something in front of God. You have put God to the rear, if you will. And that is a very dangerous thing. So John here goes on to talk to further define what he means by the world. Chapter 2 of 1 John in verse 16 says, "For all that is in the world." Now, I want you to listen to this. And I want you to consider this. And I want you to take a look around you, whether you look at the advertising you see on television, whether you watch your news that reports negative things day after day and conditions and situations from unbelievable murders of families, of neighbors, of cars running down people, of alcoholic and drug abuse, nations against nations and all those kinds of things. Look at what John describes as being present in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eye. And I think about that sometimes. There are popular sayings in colloquial terms now about bling-blinging. That is, you've got all the shining apparatus. You've got all the jewelry. You've got the fine vehicle, the great address, money in the bank. That's bling-blinging. That's shining forth with all that you see. And there are people who watch these things and say, I want some of that. Oh, yeah. And so the advertisers come along and say, you can have all of this. Just no money down and 20 years to pay. Now, and at 25%, you know, interest. That, just a little something, but you can have it. You can fly now and pay later because of the lust of the eye that we look and we see and we want to have what the Joneses have. What else is in the world? And the lust of the flesh, I mentioned that, the lust of the eyes, we see it, we navigate around it, we want to satiate our flesh with the things we have. A nice mink coat would go well. Can't afford it, but I want to have it so I can give the impression that I've made it. Or I will go into debt and buy a big car, you know, the fanciest car out there, and drive it around, and people will think, I am really getting over, all the while not eating very well because I got to make this car payment. What else is in the world? This last thing is quite an interesting note. The pride of life. The pride of life. Now, what does that mean? Well, I want to live well. I want to live long. So I go and pump iron. I run. I eat right and all that kind of stuff. And yet some of the most athletic people, I remember the great runner, Mr. Fix. Remember Jim Fix, the great runner? What happened to him? Well, he died of a heart attack while running. What does that tell you? So these elements that are in the world can confiscate our reality in Christ because we think if we can satisfy our flesh, if we can satisfy our eyes and the pride of life, well, we're just in like Flynn. We're okay. And the reality is, my friends, is that that is not the way it functions. It is not the way we do what we do in Christ. So here are these things to consider. Now, I want to turn over to Psalm 32. I want to turn there because the writer of this psalm is identified as David. And I want to show you something that, should draw our attention to what we should do in responding to the will of God. Take a look at this. Psalm 32. And as we prepare to leave the telecast today, what should be your response? Well, I'm hoping that you'll visit the website at www.cgi.org to order any amount of things there. But I also hope you make the toll-free call to 1-888-578-8791 to receive the free material that we're offering today. But more important than all of that, I hope that you'll take on the attitude of David here regarding sin in your life and sin around you. There's not much control you can have over the sin around you, but you certainly can control it in your own life. Here's what David says. Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Now, I've already mentioned to you briefly how the blood of Christ covers our sin, that his sacrifice on Mount Calvary was significant in that not only were sins of the past and the past lives of people long dead covered with the blood of Christ, not only those present who viewed his crucifixion were covered by the blood of Christ, but you and I here in the 21st century also have that blood covering. David goes on to say this, "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. What shall you do? I recommend that you take good stock of yourself and your sin condition. It's the way of the world. It's how it is in this world around us. But you and I have the ability and the control to do something about it. So what will you do? Make the toll-free call, yes, but get down on your knees and confess to Almighty God your need for forgiveness, for turning your life in a different direction. You will be amazed at what He's able to do out of nothing because of who He is. We don't have the ability within ourselves to become clean. We may think we can, but we must turn our affection and our attention to the Creator. And He made a way. He gave us a provision through Jesus Christ. I hope you'll tune in and remain tuned in now to listen to the words of my colleague on what is available. But until next time, I'm Bronson James reminding you, come out of sin, my friends, that you can live forever.
Bronson today really hit the bullseye. He hit on one of life's truisms, that of the battles that we ourselves contend with within ourselves, under our skin, the dealings with conscience, the dealings with evil and good, good and evil, sin and sanity. You know, one of the Bible's spiritual giants, as some of us would consider, the Apostle Paul, he too outlined this very battle that he himself had to contend with in the book of Romans in chapter 7. He too there described his battle, that of one where he would be doing things that he knew he shouldn't be doing. And the things that he ought to be doing, it seemed as though he couldn't find the will or the wherewithal to accomplish that. And he too came to some conclusions. And those conclusions were that left to himself, he was anti-God. He was left to fulfilling his passions and his own physical appetites. And Paul knew that that was a dead end, that ultimately he had to change those things. And friends, that's what we were talking about today. It's time that you realize that if in fact your life's not going the way you'd like it to go, that perhaps you need to break some cycles. You need to change some things. You need to reconsider perhaps the direction of your life and consider what is necessary in order to change so that you could add a little bit of sanity to life's circumstances and conditions of which you face day in and day out. That's why we're asking you right now to call 888-578-8791. Get the material we're offering. We're offering you a brochure, Our Christians Under the Law, along with a tape and now available on CD format, that same audio presentation called Sin to Sanity, about a one-hour presentation. If you call right now, we have operators standing by to take your order. Make it clear to them as to what format you would prefer, cassette and or CD. Ask for both pieces, and we will see you right back here next week. Until then, hold on and keep that armor of God tight.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours.